always appreciate the music here at Maguanago Baptist Church, and I appreciate the honor of standing behind Pastor Robert's pulpit. I don't take it for granted at all. I'm keenly aware of the fact that while many of the people of God here have been serving the Lord for years and years, and yet I'm so convinced that we all need the preaching of the Word of God. And we need the reminders. We need to be encouraged and strengthened. As I travel around, was in 19 states from January to May, and now more in the Wisconsin area in the summer times, but while you see everywhere great challenges in the ministry, there's a breath of fresh air. Hey, we didn't get a female president. But it is kind of discouraging that this country doesn't want a real, real conservative anymore. And I'm saying it took me a lot to swallow the fact that I don't believe what the majority of this country believes. If I stood up at a public square and just said, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and the major writings of the Quran, the writings of the Mormons, Mary Baker Eddy, that all of those are false. If I just said that, which I believe, and then said, I believe the husbands are to be the head of their homes and lead their families. I believe people who die without Jesus Christ go to hell for all eternity and burn. If I just said those three things publicly, I could not get elected dog catcher in my town. That's the truth. It's the truth. And I believe even more than that. But I'm saying to you, while as we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm reminded of the song, "The darker the night, the brighter the light shines." When we walk with Jesus, the light of the world. And here in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord gives the Beatitudes and gets down to verse 13. And I'll let you stay seated, but I would like you to read aloud verse number 13. We'll just use this today. Matthew 5 and verse 13 together. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Lord, bless our time in the Scriptures. Lord, we're asking you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask that you'd help us, and as a result of this today, looking at the Bible, considering your truths, Lord, would you work in each one of our hearts? Show us a way that we could be the salt of the earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When people say to me, "Hey, Pastor King, do you realize that while righteousness has fallen on hard times, do you realize our country has taken a left turn? The pendulum goes conservative, liberal, but every time it goes conservative, it goes less conservative. Whenever it goes liberal, it goes more liberal. And by and large, we're moving the wrong direction. And no, they've got rainbow lights on the White House celebrating gay marriage in this country." And whenever I hear that kind of talk, I just keep thinking, well, once the salt loses its savor, it's going to be trodden underfoot of men. And it's a ringing indictment against this nation when Bible values are being trodden underfoot of men. But that's what you get after 30, 40, 50 years of churches that compromise, 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 compromise. And accommodation leads to accommodation that leads to accommodation. And now we have kind of Christianity light. It has the same form, but it just doesn't have the same substance. And while we have men out of our church, just like you have many from this church, and as they travel, they kind of observe, Pastor King, as the churches are going downhill in their stand, the first thing to go is any preaching on personal holiness, separation, godliness. Then the next thing to go is the music. And the third thing to go is the Bible translation. And then finally, they drop the Baptist name. And the truth is, they're no longer Baptists once they get to that point, most of the time anyway. And so I want you to know, I'm kind of a one-string banjo on this. Keep on standing for right the best you know and understand. God, help us. For me, it's an oasis to come here and see how God's blessed and used your pastor in this ministry. I'm seriously thinking of changing my name to Randy Roberts or Randy, maybe Randy Rains or something, but I want to fit in here. This is, man, it's a mini civilization they got going here. And so, wow, what a blessing for me to be able to be here. But do you think we could do better? Right? I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't think we've arrived anywhere. I had a guy tell me, he said, Brother King, you know it's the last days. It has to be if God's down to using the likes of us. Boy, there's a lot of truth to that. Wow. But Matthew chapter 5, and I want to just have you look at the early part of the verse. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. Doesn't say you should be. It says you are. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? In other words, hey, there's not another alternative. I promise you, if you're waiting for the Hindus to save the world, or the Muslims to save the world, or the Buddhists to save the world, wow, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting for those that preach a pretend gospel to save the world, it's not going to happen. If you're going to those that observe the sacraments, and if you think that's going to save the world, you're going to miss another thought coming. Those that believe the Bible are the salt of the earth. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ being taught here. And he says, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And I want to just, please, tonight, we're going to look in the Bible. Please be back tonight. We'll spend a little more extensive time in the scriptures and then at the men's meeting. But for this morning, would you look at this verse with me? And I want to tell you some stories that bring this home to me. I was in a church in our central states over toward the East Coast. And the pastor said to me, Brother King, I am just frustrated with our church. He said, we have been languishing and treading water and languishing and languishing and even deteriorating a little. And I'm just frustrated. And so I'm gonna make changes. We're going to have a different church. I want you to come back next year, but the church is going to be different than what you see today. Now, I'm talking to the pastor. He's serious. A pensive man, very thoughtful man. And he says, you know, what we're doing is not working. I'm going to find something that works. And so by next year, I'm going to go with one of the four C's. Well, I'm out and about a little bit, but what are the four C's? He says, well, you know, a lot of people that are leaving our churches are going to churches that are much more formal and liturgical. A lot of our churches are kind of like carnivals, but there's a more of a atmosphere of worship. And so he says, I'm going to go Catholic. And I don't mean Catholic in doctrine. I mean liturgical, formal, worshipful, everything just cut so. And we're going to, he said, I'm thinking of that. Or I'm going contemporary. I'm going to get the drum set. I'm going to get the women up here in spandex to lead the worship team. And we're going to have contemporary worship. Or I'm going charismatic. I like it. He says, we tend to be obedience and faithfulness and sacrifice and all of that. And these guys got the miracles and the testimonies and the gold teeth and all that stuff. And I'm going with the charismatics. Or, he says, I'm just going to go Calvinist. I'm just going to say, hey, sure people aren't being saved. Sure the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Sure things, but we're going to salve our conscience by just saying God isn't calling people anymore. God's all done and America's in the toilet and it's all over with. And I'm just going to emphasize predestination and how now the only light is in foreign countries and just give up. But he said, I'm going to do one of those four because I'm not going to go on like this. And he was serious. Now, you've never seen Randy King with blood dripping out of his eyes. But I said, Pastor, before you do that, I want to ask you three questions. You're the pastor of this outfit. I want the names. You got 100 people. Give me the names. Give me the names of who in your church, before they get out of bed, before they eat breakfast, or before they leave the house and face the day. Give me the names of the people in your church who utter a prayer to heaven and say, God, please open a door for me to speak for you today. I want to know who is so conscious. I want to know who's thinking about pleasing God for that day. Give me the names of the people you know in your congregation that pray and say, Lord, open a door of utterance. Let me speak for you today. And the pastor said, well, Brother King, he says, I don't know anybody in our church that does that. As a matter of fact, I don't do that. Now look, when the churches were growing, lots of people were conscious of souls dying and going to hell all around them. And he said, we don't pray. I said, all right. How about this? That you go out, you're in the world, you're doing your day-to-day tasks, and somebody grabs you, tackles you, puts their thumbs on your Adam's apple and says, what must I do to be saved? And they force you. Give me the names. I want to know the names of who in your church has a gospel tract within arm's reach. That in their lunchbox, in their pocket, in their purse, in their car, somebody at their workstation, I want to know who is it that you have in your church that's carrying gospel tracts that even just by sheer accident, they could give the gospel out. Leave it on the back of the toilet in the restroom, something. And he said, well, Pastor King, I think Judy, I saw Judy was, she opened her purse. I thought I saw a tract in her purse, but I've been here 4 years and we've never bought tracts. The tracts and the tract director are the same ones. They have the other pastor's name on. Now listen, folks. if nobody is praying for a door of utterance, and nobody's carrying a gospel tract with the intent to witness, what's the chances that you could honestly call that the salt of the earth? So I said to my third question, I said, the 10 best families in your church, the core families, the bread and butter of your family, the leaders, I want, take me to their house. Get in your car. You don't have to say nothing. I'll do the talking. Take me to their house. But don't tell them I'm coming. I don't want her to have to clean it for the first time. I'm not going to their house. I just want to know where they live. And you come with me, like an orangutan on a skateboard, and follow me, and I'll knock the door of the neighbor on the right side, and I'm going to ask him, do you know that right next door lives a Christian? Do you know that they believe they're going to heaven, and you're going to hell? They believe they have the answer in the Bible. And they believe you're going to suffer for all eternity burning. Have they ever, one time, had you over for a meal, invited you to a Christmas program, given you a card for Easter with a tract in it? Have they ever expressed a concern for your never-dying soul? Ever, one time. Do you know that those people are Christians? And then, I want to go to the door on the left side. You come with me. I want to ask them, do you know that right there lives a Christian? Do you know they believe they're going to heaven and you're going to hell? Have they ever spoken a word of witness to you one single time? Well, I see them get in their car. I know they're religious. The pastor says to me, well, Brother King, we don't neighbor like we used to, you know. People are busy coming and going. As a matter of fact, I don't even know who lives next door to me. Now, folks, listen to me. Do not give God a black eye when the world's dying and going to hell and the Christians are like this. When I read my Bible and it says, ye are the salt of the earth. Folks, we are responsible. Don't give God a black eye. Don't blame him. Don't say he's failing somehow. He's going to use us. We're the salt of the earth. I know. Look, I know. God's got to do the work. But eventually you got to come to grips with you have to do something. You have to do something. I love Y2K. Jesus didn't come at Key 73. He didn't come in George Orwell's 1984. He didn't come at Y2K. But a lot of people bought generators. And I'm needing a generator. And they're real cheap on Craigslist now. And so I'm so thankful. But during that time, there was a guy who was one of these survivalists, long-haired, scrawny, hippie freak guy, and he's showing people in a video how to preserve meat. After all, we're going to have to be in our bunkers for a year. Everything's going black, and you're going to have to survive, and there's no refrigerators, no electricity, there's nothing. And so he was going through how to preserve meat in a barrel. And he's got a video, and it's wonderful instruction, 5 minutes. And so he's got an audience of other hippie freaks out there, and he's, I don't see any of you. While he had that barrel, he says, now look, they've been preserving meat with salt for millennium. The whole Pacific Rim, they salt fish. And people in the poor countries of the world, they've learned to salt meat. And it's a preservative. And I'm going to show you how to preserve meat in a barrel for survival of Y2K. And it was moving, his love for us. And wow, he's got this barrel. And he starts by putting about a 4-inch layer of salt in the bottom of the barrel. And he spreads it out evenly. And then he takes the real thinly sliced pork he was using that particular time. And he took a layer of pork and he put it right on the, patted it down on the salt and another layer, another piece right next to it, didn't double it over, didn't let it get quite out to the edge, about an inch from the edge, all the way around, and he put a layer of pork in the bottom of the barrel. Then he dumped in more salt and about a 2-inch layer. And he said, you can't have too much salt, but you can have too much flesh. That right there would preach a lot of sermons. And then he put in another layer of meat and another 2 inches of salt and another layer of meat and another 2 inches of salt. And he got it about 3/4 full. And he said, remember, folks, the salt has to touch the meat and come in direct contact with the meat or it's all going to rot. The salt has to touch the meat. And wow, I was just so thrilled. He showed, here's the barrel, and he had a block of salt over here. He says, salt over there is not going to help it. And he moved the block closer to the barrel, and he says, just putting the salt close to the meat is not going to help it. And then he put it on top of the barrel, and he says, just having even this close proximity is not going to preserve the meat. The salt has to touch the meat. Ye are the salt of the earth. I know this isn't deep theology, but it's a whole bunch of what we're not doing right here. Church in south of Omaha, Nebraska, they announced Firefighter Sunday. We're going to have Firefighter Sunday. It's going to be Firefighter Sunday. They got flyers. They got bulletin inserts. They got a poster. They put a poster out at the Perkins restaurant down at McDonald's. Firefighter Sunday at such and such a church. We're going to have Firefighter Sunday. We're giving them gift certificates. We're giving them a Bible. We're going to give them gift cards to Culver's. Oh, wow, it's going to be a big day. Oh, hoot nanny, this is honoring firefighters. We're going to teach the kids the importance of firefighters. We're going to have a message on how they put their lives on the line. It's like Christ. And they had one firefighter come. And he was already a member of their church, wore a uniform, got a bunch of gift cards. And the pastor was angry. And he and the youth pastor made an appointment and they went to see the fire chief for their town the next morning, made an appointment, 11 o'clock, and marched into his office. Sat down, gave him a flyer, said, look, it was in the paper. We had Firefighter Sunday. We spent money, we're ready to, how come, where are you? And he says, me and my youth pastor are here to apologize. Why would you come to our church? You don't know us. You have nothing to do with us. Why would you possibly take your free time and come to our church? We're sorry for not having a relationship with you at all. But we noticed that here in our town, you paint the fire hydrants every 4 years. And he said, you do this quadrant of the city, and then you do this quadrant, and the next city. He said, our youth department wants to take that load off from you, and we will paint the fire hydrants in our town. Our boys will put a tarp around it. They'll wire brush off the rusty spots. We'll pick up the flaking stuff. We'll clean it all up. Then our girls will come. You buy the paint, reflective orange, yellow, green, red, whatever you want, and they'll put it on. Our girls will paint, and the junior high girls will put puppy dog noses on the nozzles. But we want to paint the town's fire hydrants. Folks, listen to me. Nobody's talking about compromising the music. Nobody's talking about giving up on the King James Bible. Nobody's saying change one whit of the preaching. We're talking about the salt touching the meat. Next year, they had 31 firefighters at Firefighter Sunday. You know why? Because they knew them. Because the pastor was going out for breakfast with the fire chief. Because they had purposed in their hearts, the salt will touch the meat. I'm saying to you, look, there's a way. Winners make a way, losers make an excuse. You can hide behind it all you want, but ye are the salt of the earth and you have to touch somebody. I'm at a church. Maryland, there's young people, there's kids, I'm not kidding you, there's just tons of young families. A lot of churches I go to, you'd think it was just Q-tips out there, just white hair, God's waiting room, and wow, this church had all these young families. And I'm just in amazement. I said to the pastor, wow, I said, you got something going here. I said, who's your youth pastor? I want to meet him. He must be some incredible. He says, no, he's actually a sorry dog, and I'm thinking of getting rid of him. I says, well, what's all the young families and all the children and stuff? And he says, well, you see the two ladies in the third row? Now, over in the third row, permission to speak freely, if you look at all ladies, don't you know there are some who are just elegant-looking ladies? The way they dress, the way they carry themselves, the way their hair is, their mannerisms, they're just elegant-looking people. These two were somewhere near the other end of the spectrum. And I'm saying plain as a mud fence. They're shorter, rounder, plain. And he said, those two ladies, he said, that's the guts of our church right there. They're both widows. They're both retired school teachers. And they live near our church, and we're in an affluent area. And they noticed in the mornings, and when they taught, all these young mothers, they can't afford these $400,000 houses without two incomes. These young mothers, in the morning, they got a cup of Starbucks, and they're on their way to work at 6:30 or 7. They're dropping off their kids at school, and then they go to work. Their husband's at work another place. After school, the kids that are old enough go home to an empty house, the latchkey high schoolers. But the young kids, they have to go to after school daycare. And these families pay $150 or $200 a week for their kids that are in third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade to get on a bus after school, 3 o'clock, 3:15, and they go to the after school daycare because mama's not getting off till 5. Mama's not getting off till 6. So these ladies go to the after-school daycare, which is being hosted. It happens at the Salvation Army. And they meet the director, and they say, you know what? I used to teach math and science, and I used to teach history and English. And those poor kids are warehoused here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and then mom comes and picks them up, and she's tired from a long day, and she's got to fix them supper, then she's got to fight with them to do homework. Could we tutor the kids in their homework? We'll come at 3 o'clock every afternoon and stay until 6. We won't preach. We aren't going to witness. We're not going to talk to them except to help them with their schoolwork. Yes, you have permission. The kids that are going to get picked up at 4 o'clock, they help with math and science and English and history. The kids that are going to get picked up at 4:30, then they help them. Then the ones that are picked up at 5, and then the ones at 6. And these ladies are helping so that the mamas, when they come home, don't have to do homework with their kids. Now, about the second week, when mama comes to pick up Susie and Barbara, she comes in and says, "Who's helping my kid with the schoolwork?" He said, "When me and the youth pastor go out on Saturday and we knock doors, and we ask people to come to church, they answer the door and the kids hide behind mom and she shuts the door. But when these two ladies go to these homes, the kids come running out and say, 'Hi, Maud. Hi, Mabel. Thank you for coming.'" And he said, they get invited in. They're the ones that have won these families to Christ. They're the ones that know these children by name. They're the ones that are bringing them into the church house. He says, it ain't the youth pastor. It's not a church program. It's these ladies who are praying, God help us cultivate the relationship. The salt, the salt, the salt has to touch the meat. You've got to love what they love. I'm at another church. The pastor says, Brother King, let me show you something. I walk in, and there, and there, and there, and there, there's a poster. It says, Calvary's Most Wanted. In the lobby, it's a couple. Calvary's Most Wanted. I said, wow, what's that? Well, he says, you know, our church, we're praying for people to be saved. And we pick one couple every 6 months that we pray for that specific couple, and everybody knows them. And I make a poster, and our church is Calvary Baptist, so it's Calvary's Most Wanted. And one Thursday a month, the whole church fasts and prays for that one couple. And I said, well, but what would happen if they actually came and saw their picture? He says, that's the beauty of it. Our whole church knows them. They welcome them like they've been there forever. I said, whoa, I just can't imagine. Hey, I'm telling you, we're not talking about changing the music. We're not talking about changing our name. We're talking about caring, loving people, the salt touching the meat. I says, well, how's that working out? Come to my office. I go to his office. There on the wall, Calvary's Most Wanted from 2 years ago. And they're sitting in that section. Calvary's Most Wanted from 1 year ago. And I've been preaching to them every night. Calvary's Most Wanted from 6 months ago. And they're visiting. And Calvary's Most Wanted right now. And the lady walks in the doors and gets saved while I'm preaching. Her husband was led to Christ by the men of the church on a follow-up visit. They got baptized before I left town. Don't tell me we have to compromise. But we do have to touch the meat. I'm in another church. Young people all over the place. I said to the pastor, what is with this? He said, well, we didn't have much going until the orange t-shirt team. The orange t-shirt team, well, he says, you know, it was in the paper that there's all kinds of problems in our public school, junior high school lunchroom that the kids don't like. It was Michelle Obama's diet and Well, that's the truth. I mean, honestly, they changed a bunch of stuff, and there was food fights in the... I don't want to go there, but I'm just saying, these eight ladies from a fundamental Baptist church, their kids are up and gone. They're at home. They just went to the principal of the public school, junior high, and said, hey, we'd like to volunteer. Us four will do the 11:30 to 12:45 lunch, and us four will do the 12:45 to 1 o'clock, 1:30 lunch, and we'll just be lunchroom monitors. And it'll just say on our t-shirts, we'll wear orange t-shirts, it'll say lunchroom monitor. You don't have to pay us. We won't witness. All we want to do is just help keep order, the presence of an adult. We won't discipline. If Susie wants another chocolate milk, we'll go get her a chocolate milk. If Fred wants more macaroni and cheese, we'll go get him a scoop of macaroni and cheese. When they're done, we'll take their tray to the wash station. We'll just circulate among the kids. The principal allowed them to come. Unpaid. Their time. 5 days a week. Hour and a half to get their help. But by the end of the school year, the principal called an assembly and honored the orange t-shirt team and asked them to come back for the next year and gave them a certificate, and the kids gave them a standing ovation. But you see, the orange t-shirt team had an ulterior motive. They know the names of the brothers and sisters. They know the street. Oh, you live on Oak Street? Where is that? And the families in this church started with the contact of junior high children from late. And I'm going to say this, don't misunderstand, but it was not because the church started a new program. It was not because originating in the pea brain of the pastor is another ministry to develop. It was people in the pew who had a passion for the salt to touch the meat. I'm in another church. They had 16 men stand up and sing an a cappella solo, all between the ages of 17 and 25. And I said, wow, most places would kill for an a cappella men's group like that. He says, yeah, that's Tim. I says, well, what do you mean that's Tim? Well, you know, the ping pong. No, I don't know. No, I didn't realize that was the secret. He says, Tim likes ping pong. And he went down to the YMCA and asked if he could start a ping pong club on Thursdays at 4 o'clock. And all he did was put up a poster and a sign-up sheet. Hey, if you're between 16 and 30 and you want to play ping pong, we're starting a ping pong club, and it's going to be the young group, the intermediate, and the professionals, and we'll just pair up. And he says, Tim just goes there, and he had a bunch of guys sign up. And they play ping pong. And he brings just cheese and crackers or 8-pack of pop or whatever. It started small, but he says, every one of those guys you've seen got saved because Tim witnessed to him. Because Tim cultivated a relationship with him. Because Tim wanted to get to know him. He didn't know any of these guys. They're total strangers. But you see, you take somebody that has a burden for souls and ask God, give me an idea what I could do for the kingdom of God. Help me to touch the meat. There's another church I was in. The guy has a gun club. And I said, what? Well, it's an older guy. And he just put an ad in the paper. I'm starting a gun club. We're meeting at my house, and we're going to talk about the new guns for the shooting sports. We're going to talk skeet shooting. We're going to talk pheasant hunting, and we're going to talk duck hunting. And but you see, when you go fishing, you at least put a worm on the hook, don't you? I mean, right? Come on, fish. If you really want it, you'll bite the hook. Hey, this guy found an interest door. The people came, but he had the ulterior motive. He had the plan. He was cultivating a relationship. And then when the church had their turkey shoot, he had 8 new friends. Hey, you guys, our church has something. Wouldn't you guys like to come? He didn't witness to him and preach to him in his house. But he brought 6 guys that got saved at the church turkey shoot. Why? Why? Because the salt is touching the meat. Folks, you find a way. And so today, I'm done. Listen, I could tell you stories all day long of what I've encountered. I am so excited about good churches standing for truth, reaching the lost souls of their community, bringing them in, teaching them the Word of God without compromise. Do you believe God could help you with an idea? I met a lady out in Maine who's got 4 ladies come to her house for a quilting club. You could do that. Personally, I don't know how it works, but what I'm saying to you folks is this. Do you believe with a heart of compassion for the lost and an eye toward God saying, Lord, what could I do honorably where the salt could touch the meat? Could you give me an idea for me? Do you believe God could show you an avenue? Music? An interest that you have? What could you do where you could touch the meat? The pastor looked me right in the face. He said, Pastor King, we had Friends Day and nobody came because our people don't have friends. I wanted to cry. Folks, there is a way to maintain your testimony, stay pure as the driven snow, and still impact people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed today. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Not talking about compromise, I'm talking about staying salty. But could the salt touch the meat? With the help of God, could God give you an open door? Maybe to drive a bus. Maybe to start some kind of a club. Maybe to join some kind of upright and honorable group. But you have an agenda. You have a motive. You have a purpose. Lord, open a door of utterance. God, give me boldness. Help me to speak. Lord, use me for the saving of souls. I wonder today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would just say with the uplifted hand, Pastor King, it's been a while since I've actually given the gospel to somebody. It's been a while since I actually had someone who would listen to me. And I need to get back in the soul-winning business. I need to get back in the caring for souls. I need to have God's help with this. And I'm asking today, Lord, give me an idea of how I could touch the meat in a very effective way. Would you just slip your hand up? God, give me an idea of what I could do. God, help me. God, help me. Souls hang in the balance. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all over the house. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. I don't know all these people, but I know it's a good church and good folks. But boy, the whole city of Maguanago isn't here. There's lots of lost people out and about. This surrounding rural area, maybe an antique tractor club, maybe a outreach for duck hunters. Lord, I don't know what it will be. But I pray that you would just give seed thoughts and fertilize those ideas among this sweet congregation. Help them to be even more effective soul winners. Lord, we still knock doors. We still witness on purpose. We still have youth programming and all the things. But Lord, there's so much that's undone. Our relationship to the politicians, the police, the firefighters, our relationship to the guys down at the rifle range, the bow hunting club. Lord, there's so many people, so many that are interested, filling their lives with things that, Lord, aren't all that important to us, but they could be an avenue where we could touch the meat. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help each one here to be a soul winner, be soul conscious. Then, Lord, open doors of opportunity. Use them in a mighty way. I'm going to ask, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you just stand to your feet, and we're going to have the pianist play a song of invitation, but if you're serious this morning about asking God for an avenue for you, God, show me a unique way, a special way, or maybe a common way that I could be used. I'm going to invite you to just find a place at the altar as the pianist, organist play. God, help me be conscious for souls. Help me to touch the lost around me. As the pianist begins to play, would you come and just find a place at the altar? Join these that are already coming. God help.